Hello, hello, hello. My name is not Joe. It's Jordan.
And Midori.
Joe's not here today. So we got the lovely Midori filling in for his spot, and she's gonna do so much better, right?
Oh my gosh. No, I don't know about that. No, Joe's pretty professional.
Joe's the worst.
No.
Joe is the worst, and so I hope I permanently replace Joe.
No, he's a pro at this, so hopefully I can live up to how he talks.
Well, all you got to do is just insult me and everything like that.
Easy.
Let's talk about some of the things that we're going to get into. First, this is going to premiere after the Oscars. And so we're going to talk about some of the best pictures that have come out this century that have won the best picture. Also, we're going to talk about some of the favorite movies that we've watched. What movie did you watch this week?
I watched The Iron Claw.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about Iron Claw, and then we're going to talk about The Dune.
Oh.
We're going to talk about Mr. Timothy okay. Chalamet.
I was like, oh my gosh.
We're also going to talk about a couple of TV shows that we watched this week. And of course, we're going to catch you guys all up on Lib, Love is Blind. And my favorite part is Midori has not watched it. So we're definitely going to get into the finale of it.
I've heard lots of things about it. It's all in the news.
Yes, it is. Okay, so let's talk about our quick topic. As we all know, it's Oscar season. Oscars are this weekend. When you hear this, I bet you that Oppenheimer wins Movie of the Year. Am I wrong?
Probably.
Yeah, probably.
For sure.
Like
Best Picture.
Yeah. Is there any other Best Picture that you want to win instead of Oppenheimer?
Well, I mean, obviously Barbie, like that. I just think creatively, like it was awesome. But I'm trying to think. The other movies, I don't know about Best Picture, but they were just fantastic films, and so I would love to see them win, but I just don't think they probably will.
Yeah, exact same. Like Oppenheimer is definitely going to win. I loved Oppenheimer; it's great. It didn't make me feel like Barbie. Like I was very enthused about Barbie. But one of my favorite films that are nominated is American Fiction. I loved American Fiction.
Oh, yeah. No, American Fiction was great.
Oh, it was a great, fantastic movie. But we all know Oppenheimer's going to win. So instead of us just talking about like all the Oscars, because it's going to be after, we're going to talk about some of our favorite Best Picture movies and some of the worst movies that have won Best Picture this century. So what are some of your favorite, Best Picture movies that have won this century?
Honestly, going through the list, so I would have to say,
What's number one
is probably Parasite.
Okay, Parasite is a fantastic ass movie. Did not know at all, like, especially at the beginning, did not know where it was going to go.
No.
And that twist near the end,
it's just too much. And it's like, it's one of those movies where I feel like you just got you got a little bit of everything, but it was all very quality. Like you got a mystery, you got horror, you got a thriller, you got love, you got like inspirational at some points too. And you just like had so many things, and that was just like a wonderful film.
And then also it's just like the things you would do when you're poor, you know?
Yeah.
The things that you do for your family, for you, for status and stuff like that.
Right.
But you also got a little bit of comedy in it too, as well.
Yeah, there's like some humorous parts.
Yeah, I thought like Parasite is probably like one of my favorite movies that have come out here. Because again, I just never seen something like that. I never really watched any Korean films until I watched Parasite.
Oh man.
And then I was just like, you know what? There's a whole new genre I need to start watching. And then now I start watching like Korean like challenges and stuff like that, like game shows and things like that. Like I'm like, whoa, I didn't know Korea was like putting out
stuff like this. I think Asian films in general, they I feel like they open a box that like a lot of people haven't touched yet sometimes in their movies. Cause same with like, so for that, I'm pretty sure director Bong Joon-ho, like, have you seen Snowpiercer?
Yes. Or, I actually seen that.
Yeah. Like that's like another one where he was like, I think he was either the director or co-director or something, but he, like he was a big role in that movie. And that was also like another, that was another great one. But yeah, no, a Parasite though, it's just, you touching on like the whole view about, you know, poverty and being poor and like the things that like, the things that you feel and the things that, people will go through to just to, I don't know, just like feel comfortable in any sense, because in that movie too, they're doing jobs, you know, like they're serving this wealthy family who's very well off, very privileged, and kind of doesn't really appreciate the parts of their life that like the family that works for them doesn't have. So yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's just
fantastic,
like,
fantastic movie.
Yeah. Like, wonderful. And also just shot beautifully. I haven't.
That's A24, right?
Is it?
I'm pretty sure. Pretty sure it's A24.
I wouldn't be surprised because like they always take like original, like really nice, like original films. And
A24 also made Moonlight.
Yep.
Moonlight, I wouldn't say it's one of my, like, it's not one of my favorite movies out of this, but Moonlight is a beautiful movie.
I loved Moonlight. Yes.
But I would say out of this entire, like this century, my favorite movie is probably The Departed.
Really?
I love The Departed.
I've actually never seen The Departed.
Oh, my God. If you want to see a cat and mouse game and, like, twist and turns, watch The Departed. It stars Leonardo DiCaprio, Matt Damon, Jack Nicholson's all in it. So like Mark Wahlberg. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's basically about how this FBI informant is undercover. And somebody who's in the FBI is part of a gang that Jack Nicholson runs. And so now they're all just trying to figure out who's the rat, who's the one feeding the FBI the information, or who's the one that's feeding the gang the information.
Damn.
And so they're just trying to catch one of each other. Somebody's going to die. It's all gang shit. Amazing.
Crazy. Okay.
Beautiful movie. Highly recommend.
Nice.
I would also say, probably my second favorite on this list is Birdman.
Oh.
Have you seen Birdman?
No, I have not seen Birdman either.
Birdman is, it's so beautiful because it's all one take.
Okay.
Like, it's not technically one take, but the way they show it, it's all one take. So the camera is following anybody and everybody who's on screen. And they just keep going like downstairs and then go to the next scene. And it's just nonstop. There's no blank cut or anything like that. So it's all one take.
Gotcha. So it's like 1917.
Yes.
Where they all, okay.
Also, that movie was fantastic.
Yeah, great.
anyway, so basically a person was a superhero, right? Mm-hmm. They were super. They're basically like Batman.
Okay.
They played in a bunch of Batman movies. And then they're getting older now. And now it's just like, okay, what do I want to do? And now they're like, I want to go to Broadway. And so they start doing a Broadway movie. And when I tell you that everybody's like down him, it's Michael Keaton. He's a star. Emma Stone is also in it. And so Michael Keaton's coming back and he's like, I want to do a Broadway play. And everybody's like, bro, you're washed up. And so he has this persona of like Birdman. And that's talking to him.
Yeah.
He's like, you're Birdman. This is how you talk. And like, it's just such a battle that he has to really go through of like, I'm trying to distance myself away that I'm not just this person. And then sometimes he's like, I'm just going to take into that character. And the one, the direction, the directing in this movie is spot on, perfect. Highly would recommend.
Okay.
If you haven't seen Birdman,
I've never heard of Birdman, so no.
great. Well, for sure. Movie.
No, it'll definitely be on our list.
What's another good movie you've seen that's on this list?
Let's see. Well, I want to say Everything Everywhere All at Once, but I know that like that was it. No. Well, I mean,
then say it.
Well, I am. I'm saying that, but like with I'm trying to like see some like other movies because like we actually just watched a recent one that I loved because I heard that it won Best Picture and it was in 2008. Slumdog Millionaire.
Slumdog Millionaire is a great movie.
It's great, and I feel like. See, we watch so when I say we, my, me and my boyfriend, we watched it recently because that's who I'm referencing when I say we. But no, Slumdog Millionaire. I think I saw it on like a TikTok, people talking about Best Picture, and it made me remember it because I was like, I forgot I loved that movie when I was much younger.
Yeah, back in the day.
Yeah, so like, I have to let me rewatch it because I seriously just forgot that. Like that even happened. So but no, that was also, and watching it with when I'm much older now, sometimes things don't hit as like, how do I put this, like
they don't hit as hard as a kid because you're
focused on different things as a kid.
You're focused on different things and you're not as like emotionally intelligent
as a kid. Yes.
And so once you start like rewatching some of these movies, you're like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this hits way harder now than it did when I was a kid, you know?
Yes. Like, I remember being a kid, like, when I saw this movie, I loved, like, the colors and the picture and, like, you know, it was depicted in, like,
beautiful.
India and stuff. Yeah. It's just, like, but, you know, and it's all about, obviously, in the name, slum, like, the slums and everything. But, like, honestly, as a kid, like, I don't know why. I just, like, didn't think of that.
No,
which sounds so stupid, but now I'm watching it more recently and I'm a full-grown adult, but what a tragic movie.
Yes.
Incredibly tragic. Just, and the acting by Dev Patel is just great. He was really young then and he's just awesome.
Oh, who was he then?
I think he was like early, maybe early 20s, I think.
Yeah,
like he was a kid too. So but yeah, just like the things that happen in that movie, like, you know, with it's not the cartels, it's like the gangs.
Yeah.
And like all that, like just now processing all that information with like info that I know, like, now about stuff.
Shit.
I'm like, oh my gosh, this is some like real hard stuff. That's crazy.
Yeah, and also like it brought in like another medium. You know,
yes.
Instead of just another American film, it brought basically like Bollywood, like what made Bollywood popular in America.
Fabulous. Yeah.
They put out thousands of films every single year. And so like, I wish more people gave foreign films more an opportunity.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Than just, hey, here's a foreign film category. No, I like at all. Like, I understand, like, for the Academy, it's hard to watch every film that's ever made. But if a foreign film puts in, like Anatomy of the Fall, like I thought Anatomy of the Fall.
I still haven't seen that yet, but that's another
movie.
One on our list.
It's a great, fantastic movie. And like I understand why it's nominated for Best Picture. And so, guys, give foreign films an opportunity. Give it an opportunity, 100%.
I know some people are wary about like subtitles and stuff like that. See, but that's what I'm saying. I need to know clearly what is going on. So
what they're saying.
Yeah, so like it's like a little, you know, script thing on there so I can
like
fully understand like what
for me
is happening.
I watched closed captioning because I was like, my mom told me, hey, it's bedtime, 10 o'clock. But when I was a kid, Jersey Shore came out on 10 o'clock.
Oh, my gosh. This is hilarious.
So I literally would shut the door, turn the mute, like the volume all the way down, and turn on closed captioning just so I could know what's going on.
You're
in Jersey
watching
Shore.
Jersey Shore on
Hell
closed
yes.
captioning.
Hell
that is
yes.
the craziest show to watch on caption.
No, but it was fantastic because like if my mom caught me watching TV past bedtime, I'm getting my ass beat. So I gotta watch it though, because everybody at school is talking about Jersey Shore. Everybody's talking about
it. You are a real connoisseur then of Jersey Shore, because that's great. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard.
No, but facts.
I'm reading the closed captioning on Jersey Shore. Be like, Sam, we saw Ron. Like the note.
We saw Ronnie.
Like, and you're just reading that. You're like, I saw everything.
Yeah, yes.
So funny.
Let me one last movie that I'll probably talk about. I mean, there's Gladiator, there's Lord of the Rings, of course.
A Beautiful Mind is also really good.
A Beautiful Mind is an amazing movie that's not talked about enough.
No, that's another one. I watched it when I was really little, but I remember it being like.
To be honest, like out of all these movies that I have seen, they're all fantastic movies. So to be honest, I really don't see any bad movies that are on this list. Now, there's definitely in the past been movies that should have won, that should have been over this. But like now, you know, 20 years later, I'm not mad about any of these movies being on here at all. So, yeah, guys, watch more foreign films. Please watch more foreign
films. They're fantastic. Subtitles for life.
Subtitles. All right, so this next part, we always talk about our favorite movies, the movies that we've watched this week. Let's kick things off by talking about probably one of the movies of the year. I would easily say this is 100% for a movie of the year.
No, it was amazing, and fabulous, everything.
If you haven't seen it, and I'm probably going to see it again this week.
Us too.
let me know. So we can go together.
I think we're trying to go Friday. But
Friday?
We'll see.
I got nothing to do Friday.
Okay.
Awesome.
Okay.
Perfect. We're talking about Dune 2.
Hell yeah.
Paul Atreides. I'm not going to lie. Okay, first of all, let me get the bad out the way.
Okay.
I think the worst part about this movie and this franchise is seeing Timothy Chalamet be him, you know?
You're wild for saying that,
real
actually.
Talk, Timothy Chalamet, like, okay.
You're wild. You're wild, wild for saying yeah, that. Yeah, because, man. Well, I've heard from, like, Dune heads that have been, like, that have read all the Dune books, and they say that like he is like
spot on
spot. Like, yeah. Like, Paul plays Paul perfectly.
Oh, I'm not saying that Timothy Chalamet is like doing a bad job. No, I think he's fantastic in this movie. I've seen his other movies. I think this is his best role. I think he really took this seriously. He read the books and he's playing Paul perfectly. I just can't take Timothy Chalamet seriously. As a human being, I can't take him seriously. Like, he's a cool ass dude. Like it's not shitting on him or anything. Like, he's a cool ass dude. He's a funny, like, but he's like a goon, you know? Like in a good way. Like in a good way. But like he's a goon, and like I can't take him as
Roman's
like,
revenge.
Yeah. And like I just can't take him seriously as like he's gonna be
I don't know.
The savior of all these people, like he's the messiah. Like Timothy Chalamet don't give me messiah vibes. That being said, it's a fantastic movie. It's fantastic. It has everything you ever want in a sci-fi movie, in a love movie, in a action movie. I don't know what else you would want. Like, to be honest, I give this a 9. And it's actually very close to being a 10. Like,
I agree totally.
I would say there's maybe a couple slow kind of parts, a little bit here and there. But, like, all in all, it's a fantastic movie.
No. It's, like, I remember, well, when we saw it, I think even with the first Dune as well, there's something... Even though it's a sci-fi, like, I'm not going to lie, I'm not really big on sci-fi. Every sci-fi film I've watched is because my boyfriend suggested one, and I end up really loving them. But, and so Dune was kind of the same way. And so I was like, you know, okay, we'll watch the first one, and then we'll go see the second. And I was just amazed at the way this director uses, just like, all the cinema, I don't want to call it. I don't even know what to call it because it's like, you know, is it CGI? Is it animation? Is it like, I would love to like, you know, delve into that a little more, but just like kind of, these design principles that, and these kind of art techniques that he uses in the film that make it so like the effects so great, so beautiful.
They were actually in the desert though.
Were they really in the desert?
No, they really were.
Oh, I didn't know
they were outside of Abu Dhabi.
I did not know that. Yeah. See, like, but no, I was just, but even like the way he plays with scale, like how large, like, you know, the desert is just so vast and there's barely anything there because it's all sand, but he uses things just like shapes and forms and color and contrast to like just kind of emulate all these things and to make it just a very artistic, beautiful, like piece of art. Like,
but also going back to scale is like, you see Paul Atreides try to ride that worm and you're like, oh, you know, like the worm's not like crazy big or anything like that. But like at the end, when those three worms come out
crazy
and are destroying everybody, you're like, whole, like that's the part of scope of like size that you're like, oh my God, like, this man just rode all the, like, not even just him.
No, because you're...
All these, the Fremen are just, like, riding these things that are so large.
Insane.
Like, if you don't know what Dune's about, first of all, you have to watch the first movie. Like, there's no way you can skip the first movie. They kind of do a quick little summary, like, recap at the beginning, but, like, not enough to, like, really fully understand what's going on.
And what I've been telling people is to kind of... take the first movie as a foundational movie.
Yeah, it's just like, it's like the book. It's literally like, hey, the first part we're like, oh, something happens. Oh, my entire family dies. Then I'm stuck in the desert. Then I find the Fremen, and then they take me in. That's the whole first book, to be honest, or the first movie. But if you take like both movies in all totality, it's a perfect saga. Like the first movie bleeds right into the second movie and it just makes an entire, like, I'm not gonna lie, I would go to the movie theaters and watch both movies back to back.
No, for sure.
I really would.
Yeah.
The first movie, it is a little slow and it's a little boring. I'm not gonna lie. Being honest,
but
it sets the foundation
though. Yes.
Things do actually happen in the first movie, but the second movie is bang after bang after bang. And it's not action. There is action, though. There's training. There's learning. There's a little bit of comedy in it, actually, like, which was...
not cheesy, either.
It wasn't cheesy.
It was very well integrated.
It was super well integrated, but I was surprised. Because first movie
it's a very serious... Like, it's a serious subject, and yeah.
but basically, like, the plot for Dune 2, again... Paul Atreides, his father got murdered. Everybody tries to kill him and kill his entire family. So the second movie is just basically like him getting his get back. You know, just, hey, I got to be a part of the Fremen and I got to learn their ways. And then we need to take down the Emperor. We need to take down these people that have betrayed me and betrayed these people. Crazy. But the thing is, the Fremen think that Paul Atreides is the Messiah. He's basically... Space Jesus. And so some people worship him, some people don't, but he eventually wins people on his side and they go to war.
They love Paul.
They love Paul.
They're like, Paul's...
I fell in love with Paul too.
He's great.
But you know who's really great? Zendaya.
Oh yeah. Kills it.
Zendaya. So they changed a lot about in the book.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Which is great because the book was made in 1965. And hey, guess what? Women are just as equal as men. Okay. Just as equal as men. So like women aren't just side characters. They have real full thoughts. They have real full lives and action. And like Zendaya's character, it's perfect. It makes sense. The way her character arc kind of ends makes perfect sense. And I loved it. Timothée Chalamet and Zendaya's chemistry is amazing.
I know.
Feel bad for Tom Holland.
No, but they're friends.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're besties. Like,
you know, I bet you as, like, actor friends, yeah. I bet you, like, Tom Holland's laughing at when he has to, when Timothée Chalamet kisses Zendaya. I bet she's laughing. Cause
I heard he was on set, like, quite, oh, yeah, like, you, like, the whole time, because, like, I know Zendaya in her interview, she was, like, talking about, like, oh, yeah, he was the best on set, yeah, or, you know.
I bet you he is.
Yeah.
Like, that's her,
he's
man.
A supportive man, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, Kylie Jenner and Timothée Chalamet, they're a thing, too. So, like, which is a good couple. I actually am like,
I don't know. Like, I kind of, I love them. Like, yeah, like, I don't know. I'm for it.
No, but Dune 2, I would say this is just like Lord of the Rings, the Twin Towers. This is the Dark Knight from Batman Begins. Mm-hmm. It is an amazing, perfect second entry into this Dune series. There's definitely going to be a third movie.
Oh, for sure.
If not four movies.
At least four.
There's six books. It needs to be at least four. There's six full books. We're not doing all six books. Like, that's too much movie. But Austin Butler. Can we talk about Austin Butler?
Oh, yeah.
First of all, he was too bald.
No, he was hot as hell.
No, you didn't. Yes. Say that. No, you fucking didn't say that.
He was sexy as hell.
As a bald freak.
As a bald freak. Listen, everyone in that movie, like, they look great. But yeah, like for the Harkonnens too. Like, because I heard too. I didn't read Dune, but like I heard that, you know, the director took like these artistic liberties to like make, you know, again, like make these decisions on like how the characters look and like what, you know, how to change things and stuff. And so, I don't know. I think in the realm of like all the Harkonnens.
Oh, no.
I'm just like.
No, it fits perfectly. It fits perfectly. It makes sense for his character, for that entire house. It makes sense. Dude, ugly as hell, bald. Also, like, Austin Butler's charm. Some of the charm is in the hair.
You got to take it in context, though. Context, though? No, in context. Yeah, if I was on this, I'm like, damn. Crazy.
So
I don't know.
And you're like, damn.
I don't know. Maybe even fine. Maybe even out, like, out of context. I was like, because even after when we saw the movie, we saw it with some friends, and another, like, our friend said the same thing, but her boyfriend was like, nah, he was hot.
So you're telling me if you saw him in full character out, you'd be like, damn.
Yeah.
No. All right. You're in denial.
I'm sorry.
But actually, I think what they did with Florence, I thought her character was actually very interesting because her character in the books is not really there. She's way more into the next book, which is Dune Messiah.
Okay.
But I actually loved how like she was like kind of like the retailer of the story, of like from her point of view of like, hey, this is what's going on, this is what's happening, and kind of like being that oracle.
Mm-hmm.
And in the next book, she, or at least in this first part, they didn't give her as much of a role. In the books, but in this, you could tell that she is sneaky. She understands that, hey, there's things I can't do, there's things that I can't even fathom, but I'm still going to be the last man standing. And I loved that about her character, because you could tell, oh, shit's going to happen in the next movie from her perspective.
For sure.
Like, Paul is not going to be this all be all person. So guys, yeah, highly recommend Dune 2.
Amazing.
We're going to see it again.
Even if you're not into sci-fi, go, if you appreciate art, see it, because there's some amazing imagery and the set design, the makeup, just everything, like costume. Things.
My wife does not care for sci-fi, and she was like, yeah, this
loved
is,
it.
Yeah, she was like, no, this is amazing.
No, straight up, like, it's so good.
Yeah. But speaking of amazing costumes and amazing people, you watched a movie where there was just some naked men a lot. There's a lot of men without shirts.
Yep.
What movie is that?
The Iron Claw, of course.
All right, so I really wanted to go see this movie. And one of my wife's favorite actors is Zac Efron, ever since High School Musical. But she doesn't like. She didn't want to see him in a sad movie.
Can I just say, this is Zac Efron's best performance.
Really?
Like, pivotal, I think.
Better than 17 Again?
Oh, for sure. Like, even if you grew up with Zac Efron and you see this movie, it is just amazing to see his growth, like, as an actor. Like, you can't help but feel so proud of him.
Oh,
and
shit,
I know
no. Now I feel like I have to go see this.
No, and like the only thing I haven't seen with him in it recently was the Ted Bundy movie.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot. Extremely shocking. Yep. Terrible. Like,
saw that movie.
Yeah, well, and I heard he was like really good in that too.
Yeah.
I personally just didn't. Well, I didn't get to because like Ted Bundy freaks me out. True crime.
I'm glad. I'm glad he freaks you out.
Yeah. So like, it just like, yeah, it's like I'm like scared of that. So yeah, I don't watch the movie. But no, Iron Claw though, like he is in a very sad role because it's a extremely tragic story.
So yeah, tell me just a little bit about it.
Yeah, like, for sure. I took some notes here because I just wanted to make sure I got a hold of what I needed to say. But so I don't know how familiar are you with like wrestling? Nothing about. See, okay, I'm the same way. Didn't know
about like professional wrestling.
Well, yeah, like wrestling history of it and
some of it. Yeah,
okay,
something about it.
Okay, so and then also, did you know anything about like the Von Erich family?
Nope.
No. See, I didn't know anything about wrestling or the Von Erich family. And this movie is just like, it's about quote unquote the greatest family in wrestling ever. And
better than the Rock's family?
Apparently. Again, I don't know much about wrestling. But a couple of points here. It is just like, a telling of these families' like tragedies that, like, when I say tragedy, it's just it's unbelievable what happens to this family. So this movie, it's based on a true story. And it's about the
So this really happens.
Yes. So, all this information you could read about it on a Wikipedia, but you could learn about them just, on Google, but like, what they start. So the premise of this movie is just the story about this family and kind of like the horrors and the kind of like the abusive nature of kind of what goes on in wrestling. But also, I don't know, it goes deeper than that. I will say it touches more on kind of the toxicity of being hyper masculine. So a lot of things,
facts.
A lot of tones in this movie,
that's a fact,
have to do with
toxic masculinity.
Yeah, but it's like hyper masculine, because I understand that they're like, especially with older men, and there's just like things that that make you feel like a man, and that's valid. But then what the problem is when you take those, you take those intention, like you, I don't know, you take those feelings and you use them in a very negative and hurtful way. AKA in this family, the dad, the father in this movie, he's just a monster. he himself was a wrestler and, basically, he didn't get the recognition that he got when he was in his prime as a wrestler. And and then because of that, how when he started his family, he wanted to make these kids wrestling stars. And
so he puts all that pressure and everything on his boys.
Yes. And so even in the movie, he straight up says, who is my favorite, like in a ranking of like, this is why you're my favorite, this is why you're second, third. And so
quick question.
Yeah.
Is that bad? Is that a bad thing? Cause
it's a terrible thing.
Coach Prime does that. Like Deion Sanders, he does that for his kids.
I was like, I haven't seen Coach Prime.
Yeah, no. Deion Sanders for the Colorado. Like he tells his kids, hey, you're my favorite this week. Like you're number 1, 2, 3, 4. And it's all his kids, and they're like, oh, we know, we're fine with it. Like, I didn't do the dishes, you're now 3.
Well, so. Okay, so the tone of this movie, though, is...
But yeah, that's it's just, super serious.
Yeah, it's just because they're in a terrible situation, and, I guess for Coach Prime, that's, like, different, maybe. I don't know. Again, I don't know about it,
she's
but...
She's like, I'm not ranking my kids.
It's just, like, this whole... gives this message of my love is conditional and the only way to earn my love Ooh. Is that you're physically the best, the strongest, the just hitting all these things that so it's just like he's a father and they're, you know, and all of his kids are like incredible athletes. There's one, there's one brother in like the movie that is more into like the arts, but he like just talks down on him because he likes the arts, like he likes music and stuff, and he's just like, why are you like, that's a girly thing, you know, it's just like
gay and stuff like that, like,
he doesn't like, I don't think he like calls him gay, but it's just like,
yeah,
he straight up says, you're not my favorite because you do this,
you're not masculine, you're not masculine because you don't, you're not physically fit, you're not this, you're not that,
like, and but because of that, so you have all these you have all these brothers just competing for one, their dad's love, and then two, like the like wrestling, you know, like the audiences,
the atmosphere,
the fans and they're competing like mentally because, you know, they're it's very strenuous, like
it's a lot
yeah,
lot of work.
Just like on your body and just like the nature of the sport.
So how many boys are there?
So I think in the movie there are technically five, like, because the Von Erichs had one son, but like as a kid he passed away. So, and then I think the rest of the movie shows four, but
pretty sure I saw four in the trailer.
Yeah, but there were actually five brothers. They just took one out because from what I've heard, the movie's so tragic that the director couldn't deal with, or just not deal need, not deal with more another. Tragic. Just like not that like his story wasn't important by any means, but I feel like he combines one of the brother's stories with someone in the movie. Okay. So, but I think it's because, again, this family just faced so much death and tragedy, like after another, that he was like, I don't know if I can add another.
Yeah.
It explains like, it just shows like the hard and just toxic side of hyper masculinity, and you just like have all these conflicts between each other, and then which eventually leads to all of their downfalls except for the oldest brother, I believe.
Zac Efron?
Yes, that's his character. And So
it sounds like a very sad movie, but like, is it good acting?
Like, oh no, it's like I said, this is Zac Efron's, I think, career pivotal role. Like this I think this is the role that, like, not to say he wasn't a serious actor,
because he was like did, you know, dumb movies. Like he was always the hot guy. What was the movie with Seth Rogen?
He's in Neighbors, and like those are funny, and you know, and like he's not a bad
17
actor.
17 Again.
Yeah.
The movie with Michael B. Jordan.
Which one was that one?
They were all trying to like have sex.
Found
girlfriends.
Not Project X.
Not Project X. He wasn't in Project.
What
X.
was it? But it was like something like that. Yeah. We are your friends.
Yeah.
We are your friends. Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. So like, and this is like his big time serious role. Jeremy Allen White's in this movie.
Oh yeah. He's also amazing in it too. He's kind of like he's more obviously like a supporting role. So, yeah. But yeah, he's
fit. And then he did that Calvin Klein ad. So
everyone saw that ad. He was fantastic, and you know, he's very known for like his dramatic roles in like
the bear
and like Shameless. And I feel like he didn't have a lot of dialogue in this movie, but his character, I think he's Carrie Von Erich, but he plays the favorite, quote unquote. I'm just really trying not to give spoilers, but yeah, he's like the pro athlete of the, like, they're all pro athletes, but he, I think, was going to go to the Olympics, and an athlete for different sports.
Oh, okay. So yeah. So what would you rate this movie?
I'd definitely give it like a 9 out of 10.
Ooh, solid 9.
Yes.
Okay.
I just think it's a story that a lot of people
need to watch
and, you know, hear. Also, I had a newfound appreciation for wrestling and the sport in general as entertainment. I know, like, now it's pretty staged and, you know, like, fake for the most part, but there is, like, extreme things that these guys do athletically.
These people are not, like, fake athletes. It's fake.
To an extent,
they come out with bones and, like, bruises and, like, scratches. They jump off things, and they do actually get hurt, like, physically and tear shit. And, like, it's a real-time, like, sport.
Oh, yeah. So that coupled with all the
pressures
shit,
all the
shit that this family went through, it's crazy. So I just, I do think it's a 9 out of 10 watch. I recommend anyone to go see it. If you're a fan of Zac Efron, yes, please go see it.
He's naked mostly.
But I mean, that's another thing. They're all super buff. And
so I'm just trying to look at hot just guys. Like, just, if you're Joe, I know you're going to listen to this. So
I will say it's not super sexy, but it's just because the sad really overcomes it.
The sad does not make it sexy at all.
But I mean, no, I was going to say just because they are super buff, like I heard people, you know, complaining that like, no, like they don't even look like the Von Erichs. And it's like the actual Von Erich family, crazy, humongous dudes. They're jacked. Like they're
steroids.
Yeah. I'm like, there's no one in Hollywood that can do that. Like, you know, so, but yeah, anyway, fantastic movie. Just highly recommend.
All right. Can't wait to check it out.
Yeah.
All right. This is the part where we start telling you guys about some of the TV shows we've watched, this week. I'm going to start off by telling you a show that's probably going to be in the contender for best show. Actually, this is a stacked year, first of all. House of Dragons coming back. Cannot wait. Got season 3 of The Bear. But this newcomer, Shogun, that's on Hulu. I don't know how many episodes there's going to be. And as of this recording, there's 3 episodes out. When I tell you, first, I just needed something to like scratch that Game of Thrones itch.
For
you know?
Sure. Yeah.
That secession itch. I love a great power dynamic. Like when people are like fighting over power and like, I want the throne or I want this company and stuff like that. And so Shogun is a Japanese show. Basically, like, this is what happens. It's based on, like, feudal Japan. The shogunate, he dies. He's dead. And what happens is his son is only, like, a little teen. Like, he's barely even a teenager. And he's like, hey, I want you 5 councilmen to run the country until my son becomes of age. 1 year later. All of a sudden, one of the guys who the shogunate actually was his favorite.
Mm-hmm.
The other 4 are like, ah, fuck this guy. Like, hey, we want more power. We're going to take over. So fuck you. And basically, like, hold him hostage because they have to legally be able to kill him and stuff like that. They're not trying to just assassinate him. And so there's a huge power dynamic because of this, of like who's trying to become the real person of power. And he has to protect himself. And that in comes white man.
the Anjin.
John Anjin, yes.
Yes.
The Anjin.
The pilot.
His name is John.
Blackthorn?
Yeah, Blackthorn.
Yeah.
Basic ass English name. So he is an Englishman who's traveled around the world. He's not Catholic. He's Protestant. And he is sent on a mission to kill all Catholics, basically. He's from England. They hate the Spanish and the Portuguese. Portugal has already arrived in Japan. And they talk about how they've converted a lot of these Japanese people into Christianity,
mm-hmm.
into becoming Catholic. And so this Protestant guy finally lands in Japan. They've been traveling. They've almost died. He gets captured. And then they're just like, hey, who are you? What do you want? And stuff like that. And they're trying to figure out what the hell is going on. But what happens is this guy tells them, after they finally go through some trials and tribulation, he tells them, hey, I'm just letting you know, all these Catholics that's been here are trying to take you over. Spoiler alert, white people are bad. and so he's basically saying, hey, like, imagine this. Imagine you don't even know the rest of the world exists. You only know China. You know about China. You know about Korea. But you really don't know about Europe.
Everything else, yeah.
Yeah. And so they go, you start to see these white people, and they come in. They're like, hey, we're good people. We're just trying to show you my religion. And you're like, oh, cool. Like, what's up? And then guess what? Some people fall for it. And then all of a sudden, this random other white guy from another country that you didn't even know exists. First of all, you didn't know queens were a thing. Because back then, you know, women suck. but you don't know queens even exist. And then this guy tells you, hey, all these Catholics that are here are just trying to convert you and to take over. They already claimed your land. All of Japan is owned by the Portuguese. You belong to them. You are nothing but just some savages,
yeah.
Barbarians. We don't care about you. So we're going to just whoever's in power right now, we're going to replace it with one of our Catholic people, one of our Catholic Japanese people. That way we know we can always control them. We can control this land without having to, you know, send an army and stuff like that. And that blows one of the guys' mind that's on the council. And he's like, oh my God.
Flip of a switch.
Because other people on the council are Christian. They're mm-hmm. Catholic. So that's who's trying to replace them. And so now it's all about a power dynamic of who's really going to be in charge, who's going to be this. I've only watched the first three episodes, guys. And when I tell you that this show, acting phenomenal. Phenomenal. The way that it's shot is beautiful. I love the actual dynamic of like, because I hate when, you know, oh, white guy goes to another country, then learns and then becomes one of them. And then, oh, we all, ha, then he saves the day. And it's like, oh, cool, this one of us. I don't get that vibe from this. I get the vibe of like,
there's going to be a fight.
Yeah. It's like,
it's going to be a massive fight.
Thank you for this information.
Yes.
We're going to start killing other people.
Yes.
You can help join us and stuff like that. But he's not the leader. He's not the savior. He's not the person in control, which I actually am super glad about.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm like, guys, I'm going to be honest. So far, 10 out of 10.
No, it's fantastic.
It's a 10 out of 10 show. And I'm just going to go on a limb. I'm going on a limb. Okay. I want you to know first from Double Trouble Features. We're going to be talking about this show for decades.
Can't wait.
We're going to be talking about this show for decades because it's good.
No.
What are your thoughts? Like,
oh no, I, everything you just said, but also like, learning about the cultural aspect of it too.
Yeah.
Because you know, I've talked about it with some of my friends about them just even learning about Japanese culture, samurais. And like, I don't know if you heard the question about, would you rather be a cowboy, samurai, or pirate? That's been like...
Easily samurai. What? Why is that even
Have you
a
heard
question?
About... No, it was like what? A question on TikTok that people were asking their boyfriends because apparently there was one obvious answer, apparently. But...
Who said cowboy?
Thad said cowboy. Sorry, my boyfriend said cowboy.
What?
Yeah, because he said that life, he was like, I feel like it could be like the easiest or like the most like, no, like not as difficult.
Not as
or
difficult?
Yeah.
I guess it's easier because, to like, be a cowboy.
Just because like samurais, you know, they're... Like, there's lots of suicide. There's lots of, like, honorable things
Guys,
that you have
first
to uphold.
Episode,
you have to,
this
like,
dude
it's crazy.
This dude was struggling and he thought he was going to die in the ocean. And he whipped out his sword. He was like, I'm going to kill myself right now. That way I just go out on my own terms. And I was like, what are we doing?
Isn't that crazy, though? It's just like, it's all about, like, you know, honor, it's all honor about, respect, and yeah. lineage. And, yeah, you just see, I mean, obviously, because it's about Japan, but it's, I just feel like a lot of people are learning about it and yeah. are learning about, like, oh, this is, like, why they feel this way or why they act in this way or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but, my wife literally was like, why is all their hair like that? Like, shaved right in the middle and stuff like that. But yeah, no, it's a beautiful world, no. first of all.
Also, graphic.
Very graphic.
Yeah. Definitely just shows cutting off heads, oh, like just straight up with the sword.
That life.
Yeah.
I'm about and that life.
So if you have an easy stomach for that stuff.
Okay, it's not like gory.
It's not gory, but it's like the thigh. Because like you see a man getting boiled.
Okay, like, so because I watch anime, like I knew that
that's what
that's I knew that was a torture, like way, like they tortured people back in the day, and like death by boiling, like in the show, guys, like they literally, he's screaming at his top for hours,
for like 5 minutes in the show, like
in the show it's like a couple minutes, but like in real life, like you can survive boiling water for a while before you are actually like dead, unless you have a heart attack. But it's crazy because like I always ask my wife, like, which one would you rather die from? Would you rather drown or would you rather be caught on fire? And that's just both. That's just both in one. And that's the worst one out of all of them.
Dang. No, it was just, but yeah, that was like very graphic and crazy. And I was like, yeah. My mouth was open. I was just like, what the?
Yeah, you see the skin and everything. Yeah. No, but fantastic show.
Great.
again, I'm just calling it now. It's probably going to be best show of the year. Best show.
I can agree.
For the next, you know, how many seasons we get.
I definitely see it. And I know that's coming a lot from you because, you know, there's like articles out there saying it's the next Game of Thrones, like kind of epic feeling. And so, very excited about it.
It scratched that itch the second I saw it. I was like, the second I watched the first couple scenes, I was just like, oh, I'm getting... Because the main character, Ned Stark. He's the definition of Ned Stark. Honorable, good guy that just wants to do the right and then gets fucked over by some evil people. That's Ned Stark. So... I know you really haven't watched Game of Thrones, so you don't even know who Ned Stark is.
I've seen, like, the Game of Thrones shows I have watched, or, like, the episodes.
It's the first
season.
He's the dad.
Gotcha. I've watched literally the second to last episode of Game of Thrones, and I think, like, the Red Wedding or something.
Did you come over to watch the season finale?
No, I don't think so. Oh, I think, okay. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, that was another Midori. but anyway.
But yeah, I saw, yeah.
But speaking of, like, you know, our HBO shows, good HBO shows.
Yeah.
What'd you watch?
True Detective, Night Country.
Okay, so I have seen the first season of True Detective, mm-hmm. and I've seen part of the second one, and it just wasn't hidden like the first one.
Okay.
Like the first one with Matthew McConaughey, amazing.
Oh,
like,
no, the first one's great.
Like one of the best seasons I've seen of like television. So, but after the second one, I was like, I'm kind of cool. Like, I don't need it. And then, like, I seen some bad reviews or anything like that. And so, I've seen a lot of mixed reviews about this show. And I've thought about, like, kind of getting back into it. How was it?
Oh, it was... So, it was great. I will say that for anyone who hasn't seen the show, I need to premise that this show is not about you. Or for you, if that makes sense. So, because the theme of the show, where it takes place, it's indigenous people in Alaska is like kind of the whole theme. There's an indigenous cop that's, you know, the partners together. So they're like, it's just, I see all the bad reviews I see about it is because they just, I feel like people get wound up in like, oh, it's not like the Woody Harrelson one, or you know, it just doesn't feel, and it's just like, well, it's two women that are honestly like, they're assholes just like Woody Harrelson, And they basically, I mean, they just kind of act, they act like similarly to those cops, like from the first season. But I feel like people's, you know, feathers are ruffled because they're women. It's not traditionally whatever how yeah. women act. Because
it's what? Jodie Foster is the main yes. character, right?
Yes. And Callie Reese.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just like, it's just a different dynamic. And so again, this takes place in remote rural Alaska.
Yeah.
And you know, the themes out there, like they're, you know, it's all snow and Alaska has like limited sun. So during this time that they're filming the show, it's, you know, there's no sun. There's no sun. It's always at night. There's limited resources because they are in this remote town. And all you have is like the indigenous community that lives there and the cops. And you also have this, I don't know what you'd call it, like a company that,
corporation.
Yeah, a corporation that has been just, I don't know, like
they're studying, like they're studying doing something,
they're
right?
studying stuff, but then like there's a group of scientists that, you know, they freeze up in like the middle like of a remote part of like outside the town, but they're just like they're doing some illegal shit there. And so, but yeah, that's just kind of like where it's at. And they're doing things that are like ruining their, it's like poisoning the town's water, it's like ruining the environment that they're in, and like just overall kind of like messing with like their geographical stuff and their climate. Yeah. And you yeah, know yeah, yeah. just like think it talks more into about that, but yeah, but I just think because of like it's about indigenous people, I'm not sure if people are really understanding. And also with, so since Jodie Foster is also in it, she's the, you know, the main character. Is she the
executive producer of this one?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, and you know, yeah. I know, I think she does like very like selective roles now. She I think does. She's more of like a producer director type thing. But I think if you really like Silence of the Lambs, I think you really like this because it's very, it is slow building, but it's because it's slow building and gathering all these information and turning to like another thing. And then it's like turning to another thing. And it's so, and I know it's like, duh, it's detective work, but yeah, it's just like, and it kind of gives those vibes. And so, it talks okay. about like, and when I say indigenous, you know, there's subjects that they talk about, like, you know, spirits and stories yeah. and like protest and just like, you know, all this okay. stuff. But yeah,
Does it have a good payoff at the end?
I think so. I could have personally, I wish the ending had at least like one more episode to like describe, not just like go into more like what happens.
Okay.
Because I guarantee you when you watch it, some people are like, oh, what the heck, like that was so short, like why did they do that? But I think it's a really cool ending. And I think it's also based on a lot of truth that happens like in reservation type towns. Yeah. So, yeah, I think it was great. And I'm glad that they took those liberties, those artistic liberties to kind of bring to light like what so indigenous people go through.
What would you rate it?
I'd rate it a 7 out of 10 just because it's awesome, it's great, and I loved it. But I know, well, I mean, I'm giving it a 7 because like I'm not gonna say it's like the best show I've ever seen. Like I'd pick Shogun over this,
yeah,
you know. But it's not like terrible in any way, or it's not even average, you know. Like it's just okay. like, it's like it's a very decent show, and like I think people should watch
it. Oh, people should watch it. Okay. Yeah, yeah. You know, again, it's HBO. HBO really don't put out bad shows.
No.
So, yeah, no, I'm definitely going to watch this. This was definitely one on my radar. I started it, and then I lost Wi-Fi. And so, yeah, I'm ready to pick yeah. back up.
I will say, if you're just not into slow-burning shows, then, like, I don't think you're going to like it.
Yeah, but I don't think my wife will like this.
But if you are, definitely. And also, just, like, detective criminal work.
Yeah.
If you're interested in that. But I know some people aren't, so it's okay. just whatever.
All right, so for the last part of this episode, we're going to wrap up. Actually, no, we're not going to wrap up. But we are at the end of Love is Blind. Now, here's the best part. Midori, you have not watched Love is Blind, have you?
No, just like the first two seasons.
Okay, so this next season, it's wild. But I'm not going to tell you all the characters, and I'm going to tell you everything that's going to happen, because that will make this episode 2 hours long. But we're going to go to some of our core players.
Okay.
All right, so I just want you to know about this person. These couple people. So this person's named Chelsea, right?
Okay.
She's the one that you've heard about, the Megan Fox looking person.
Yes.
Okay, that's Chelsea. Okay. Then you have Jimmy. Jimmy looks like a thumb.
Thumb,
Jimmy. He looks like a fucking thumb.
Okay.
All right, so Chelsea and Jimmy, they were in the pod. Jimmy liked this other girl named Jessica. Jessica looks way closer to Megan Fox than Chelsea does.
Oh, so there is like an actual person that looks like Megan
Fox. Like Jessica's hot. She's a mom. Oh, look at her. Look at a picture of her. Look.
I think these are all really pretty people.
First of all, okay, we go back to Love is Blind? Why are we not picking average looking people? Damn. Like, I feel like for the guys are kind of average, but all these girls are very beautiful.
Yeah.
I need more fours.
Everyone's gorgeous.
I need more threes. I need to see if love is really blind. Because you know what? Because, hey, guess what? Personality 10 out of 10. Can you actually date somebody that you think is ugly as hell? But anyway, so Chelsea's not a bad looking girl. Not at all.
No. Beautiful.
So Chelsea and so at the end of the pods, Jimmy picks Chelsea over Jessica.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
But remember, Chelsea says I look like fucking Megan Fox.
Okay.
So he sees her and he's like, oh, okay. Okay. So they get out of the pods. Chelsea is very, very emotional. She's super, she wants more affection. And the entire time, Jimmy really doesn't do that much to prove that he like really likes her and stuff like that. And you definitely get the vibe that like he's not attracted to her.
Okay.
Chelsea's friends literally come over one night, and the first thing she talks about is another guy in the pod. So the other guy in the pod, his name's Trevor. Trevor literally was like, you're the only girl for me. I want you. Trevor's her type. Trevor's a great fucking guy, and Trevor wants her the entire time.
Okay.
But Jimmy proposed first.
Okay.
Trevor literally asked her, hey, if I would have got there first, would you have said yes? She says yeah. She doesn't say anything. So you know she has feelings for Trevor.
That's wild.
So wild.
But also, I don't know. That's like, this show is crazy.
Yeah, the show is crazy. So anyway, so they go to the DR. They have like a little tiff here and there on some bullshit, whatever. Mm-hmm. You could tell Jimmy is still not into her. But she wants more validation. She wants this and that. And Jimmy's like, bro, I can't give you everything. I can't give it to you. And at first you're like, Jimmy, you're just being an asshole. Like, she just wants more love. She wants more time and everything like that. Here's where it kind of gets weird.
Okay.
So
I'm scared.
So literally imagine this, okay? Like, you're with your boyfriend and everything like that.
Yeah.
In the pods, he said that, oh, he's not a partier. He doesn't really, like, go out. He's, like, mostly a homebody.
Okay.
Jimmy is like, hey, I want to, like, Jimmy goes out.
Mm-hmm.
Celebrate his friend's birthday party.
Okay.
And it's a lot of his fraternity brothers and some of their girlfriends or wives. He's gone for, like, an hour and a half, 2 hours max. Comes back home. Chelsea is just like, you told me you weren't a partier. And he's like, what?
Huh.
She's like, no, you told me you weren't a partier. You told me you weren't going to go out and stuff like this. And he's like, it's just for a birthday party. Like, I was just not that gone.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm with you every single day, all the hours.
Yeah.
And then She's like, you are this, you're that. Like, you lied to me. Like, I don't know if I want to be with the man that's like this. I don't know if I want to be with the guy that wants to party all the nights and everything like that. And then she's like, you were out with all these cast people. And he's like, no, I wasn't.
Like the Love is Blind yeah. cast? Okay.
He's like, no, I wasn't. I was with my fraternity brothers. She's like, and then she's like, was Jess there? What? Jessica? No, she wasn't there. He was like, I heard that Jessica was there.
Who? But who heard?
He's like, who said that? McKenzie? Yeah, McKenzie said. Like, no. So like in this argument, yeah. she's literally fishing.
Yeah.
On some bullshit.
It's like looking for stuff.
Looking for stuff. And he's like,
to probably end it. Right.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
And he's like, no, like you are being crazy. And she is like, he's like, you're just sitting here drunk at home and you're talking about all this bullshit. And he's like, you don't love me. Or she's like, you don't love me. And he's like, what?
What?
You're like, she's crazy.
Well, no, just like it sounds like she just doesn't like this dude and she's trying really hard to like find something.
She wants him.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, because they meet.
Then why would you do that? Because I feel like that just would drive him.
Nobody knows.
Like you can't let out all your crazy leg all at once, you know. You gotta like sprinkle it over time. Like,
no, so even later, he's like, why'd you bring up Jess and everything like that? And she's like, I don't know. He's like, cause I just want to be with you and everything, and you told me you're not a partier. And he's like, bro, I went to a birthday party, had one drink for an hour and a half.
That's like nothing too. That's like not a lot of time either.
No. And so Jimmy also during this time, he met Jess for the first time,
mm-hmm.
like in person. And like, yeah, like he's like, yeah, you were definitely obviously like my number one pick in the pod. But he says some things, little red flags here and there. Also, I really don't think Jess has a kid. And I don't think Jimmy was ready to be a father.
There's like other... So there was like other things that probably led him to like proposing. And it's like, yeah, you should, I don't know. You should feel pretty secure if like,
yeah,
if he, I don't know.
But so,
okay.
Imagine you got proposed to and this person, your husband tells you, or your fiance tells you, hey, I don't know if I can do this anymore because you go out and party and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That would kind of turn you off a little bit, right?
I guess.
Like he's dead serious about this. So what happens is they go on their final date before they get engaged. And Chelsea's like super happy. They're going on roller coaster rides and stuff like that. And then she's like, yeah, I'm super ready to like get married. I'm super happy. Like, I want to be with you. And he's like, no, I'm breaking off right now. Because that night I asked, hey, I asked him, he was like, do you not love me? And he's just like, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this. And she threw this in his face.
Okay.
She met his friends.
Yeah.
His friends are girls. He has like a lot of girlfriends.
Okay.
And he told her, not on camera. He's like, yeah, I slept with one of the girls. But that was time ago. We're just friends. They met and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And when they were arguing, she threw that in his face. And he's like, if you're not going to, like, respect this, like, they're my friends, like, no matter what, like, I can't do this. I understand, like, you know, some girls don't like, you know, girlfriends and everything like that. But like, if he's like, hey, I introduced you to my girlfriends, you said this is okay and everything like that.
I think you should definitely be upfront if it like bugs you immediately.
Yeah.
Because you just like lying and then like throwing it later. That's
throwing
like,
it later in an argument.
I'm not gonna lie, that would make me uncomfortable. It kind of would.
Yeah.
And but I'm also I would straight up tell you and just be like, yeah, so you, I don't know if I like that, you know, just like,
no, and
just
and,
talking about it.
But at the same time, like, I did not like Jimmy at the beginning. Mm-hmm. Respect him now. Because
okay,
while she was drunk saying all this stuff, she was like, he was like, do you want me back off from hanging out with my friends? And she was like, yes. And he was like, well, I'm not going to. And like, he stood his ground. Like, that's my thing. It's like, it's different if like, hey, all you're doing is spend your time with your friends. You're not respecting me or anything like that. But it's just like, hey, I went out for a birthday party. And you want me to back off more?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I'm standing my ground as a man. And like,
also, like, as of right now, he just met this person too.
And that's the reality of these things.
Yeah.
It's like, I feel like people forget, like, this is Love is Blind, but this has actually only been 3 weeks.
Yeah. Not even a month.
Not even a month.
It's a crazy situation.
Yes.
And like, the couples that have made it through, like, they're, I feel like, all the couples that made it through, they're pretty like understanding of each other and just like hurt each other out.
Yeah.
Even though they were, it was like a short amount of time. But yeah, I just like, I think early on, yeah, she should have just been like, this makes me uncomfortable. Also, I feel like people just go about things in a very hostile way sometimes. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I used to be like that, like when I was a teenager, but like,
but this girl is like, she's divorced.
Right. But it's like,
she's 30.
Like, you've lived life. So it's like you reacting she's a certain 31. Way. Crazy. It's just because like, I just feel like you would react a different way. Like if this was a 30-year-old relation, like, you know, 30-year-old together, like you just, this sounds like a conversation for like a teenager.
100 million percent.
If that makes sense.
And that's the thing that I started to realize, like with Chelsea, it's just like, Chelsea, you are too much. Like, you're wanting this. And it's just like, you're like, you can tell she's super insecure.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I don't think within, you know, a month, I can fix your insecurities. And this ring is not going to fix your insecurities.
No, not at all.
And so like with me and my wife, like, she was insecure about stuff. I was insecure about stuff. But, like, you know, we took years and, like, we've overcome insecurities and stuff like that. And you know what? We got married and I thought all insecurities are gone. No, there's still insecurities. And that's okay. But as long as you're working through those insecurities,
yeah,
that's all that matters.
And growing together.
Yes.
And,
but
yeah,
when you have insecurities in a month, that's not going to get better like anytime soon. And I can't just be like, yeah, I can marry you now. Like
using marriage as like a answer to your problems is not.
We'll end up in divorce.
Yes.
Every single time.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. No,
for sure.
It's so happy for Jimmy. Actually.
So they're
happy.
Not together.
They're not together. They did not end together.
Dang.
I'm actually very happy. But this next couple we have is Amy and Johnny.
Amy and Johnny.
They're your typical, yeah, they're going to make it.
They're going to make it?
They made it.
Cool.
They made it to the end.
Good. Hey,
so basically,
are they cool?
Amy, Johnny hit it off the entire time in the entire pod.
Cool.
They were good. This is the only hiccup. They haven't had sex.
Damn.
And.
Like before getting married?
Yeah. No sex. Here's the thing.
Okay.
Johnny. He says, hey, I want to retire at 50, which I don't know how you're doing in this economy. But he is so nervous about having a kid that he's like, hey, I'm not going to, like, we're not going to have sex unless you're on birth control.
Huh.
And she's like, I don't know if I really want to do birth control because, you know, it affects my hormones and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, every girl I've ever been with, you know, has been on the pill and stuff like that. And so, you know, the simple solution that everybody thinks is just wear a fucking condom. But he's scared that he'll still get her pregnant if he wore a condom. So that's literally his only flaw. is he doesn't understand the woman body and understands that, hey, birth control is not just a, oh, it fixes everything. Use a fucking condom and pull out, bro. It's not that hard. It's not that hard at all. But they do love each other. Dad gave the blessing.
Okay.
They actually do look happy together.
Okay.
The entire time.
Hmm.
And they get married.
Okay. Well, interesting. Not my relationship. But
you're like, I got to try it out before I get married.
Well, I mean, like, I think there are things that are important. Like, I just feel like traditional marriage, I mean, nothing about this is traditional, but, facts. You know, just like traditional marriage, I don't think works. I don't think it works well, like, nowadays, because, you know, you gotta, I feel like you just have to know the person and, like, know how they live and, you know, just, like, make sure you guys are compatible.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but, you know, if it works for them, just wish them luck. Yeah. Don't know them, but nice. That sounds kind of weird.
No, 100%. I think they figured it out,
mm-hmm.
but, you know.
Okay.
Now, here's the craziest couple. So you had.
Is this a three couple?
This is Jeremy.
Okay.
Jeremy is just your average weird white guy. Okay.
Okay.
Like, look at him. Look at him. He's just your average looking, like, tech kind of looking guy.
Jeremy.
Yeah.
Got it.
So he picks his. He dates two girls in the pod. He dates Sarah Ann and Laura.
Okay.
Okay. He picks Laura at the end.
Okay.
So him and Laura really hit it off. They're starting to be great and everything like that. They're enjoying their time.
Mm-hmm.
She does not like his. Now, he has a fetish with Hawaiian shirts. Like, he really likes Hawaiian shirts, which is perfectly okay.
Like, for himself?
Yeah, for himself. Okay. Like, he wears it. Laura hates it. Like, really hates it. Like she brings it up all the time. Like, it's like, if you pick this guy, you want to marry him, and he likes Hawaiian shirts, just get over it, you know?
Yeah.
But it really bothers him. Or her.
Is that all he wear? He's not wearing a Hawaiian shirt.
But he wears it often. Okay. He wears it often, but not every single time.
Interesting.
So, here's okay. the thing. they look fine. They look okay.
Yeah.
Laura got, you know, sometimes she kind of, you know, checks him a little bit, like, here and there. And they kind of look, like, they talk shit a little bit, you know. But, you know, sometimes in a relationship, you kind of, like, you know, banter a little bit here and there.
It's okay. Normal. Yeah.
One episode, all of a sudden, at the very end, Laura's like, where the fuck were you? Jeremy goes out with cast members one night. And Sarah Ann, like, his second choice.
Oh, my gosh.
Was out. And Jeremy, he said, you know what? I'm not going to let her dictate, like, what I do. I'm going to still hang out and, like, go out with the cast members. And so, all of a sudden, Jeremy doesn't get home till like, 6 a.m. in the morning.
That's not getting home. That's crazy.
So, this is what he did. This is what he tells her. He was like...
He left for the night and was...
he tells her, hey, me and Sarah Ann went to talk. We drove to this parking lot, parked in the parking lot, and just talked.
Okay. About what?
I have a question. If you're a man... went till 6 a.m. to talk to a girl.
That's not
his
me.
His ex.
That's not me.
He comes home and doesn't he didn't text you or anything. Like, he comes home. How are you reacting?
Well, one, I'm going to be worried. One, yeah. If I don't know if, well, do I, so I know that he's with.
No, you don't.
Okay. Well, the one, I'm being like super worried. I'm probably like pissed calling off. Calling up everyone. Like, where the hell he is. Yeah. Like, but,
so
I guess that would be my first response.
So get this, Jeremy's defense. He's like, "Hey, I shared you my location," because my first thing is, if you're out with your ex until 5 a.m., 6 a.m., I'm thinking you're fucking.
But he doesn't know she doesn't.
He tells her, "Hey, I was out with Sarah Ann."
Oh, till 5 a.m. Okay. But like during the time when he was not here, she didn't know.
She did not know.
So this is her. Okay.
Yes.
If I found out, you'd be dead.
Oh.
Ooh. On site.
Oh, on site.
Yeah.
On site, dead.
For sure.
But he was like, hey, I shared my location with you. And she said, oh, really? You think that's okay not to text me or anything like that? But also, bitch, do not share your location with me if you don't want me to check your location. Turns out he wasn't at the parking lot.
Oh my gosh. No way. He was at Sarah Ann's. No way. Rookie move.
I think he.
Like, yeah. Very confident that he was like, yeah, this will be.
Oh, he gives off an asshole kind of vibe.
Oh, man. And the Hawaiian shirt. Well, I'm honestly more. I'm interested. I want to unpack that whole thing. But
So Laura calls it off.
Yeah.
Obviously. Beginning of the next episode, like, mom's like, he meets his mom.
Yeah.
And his mom was like, you're lucky it wasn't me because I'll beat your ass.
That's a very normal,
yeah, 100%
natural response.
But here's where it gets juicy.
Oh God!
So that was just the super juicy part.
So
then they do the whole reunion where everybody gets to meet each other, what they look like.
Yeah.
Sarah Ann comes, and Jeremy's there, talks to Laura, and they start arguing like, I don't even want to talk to you. Blah blah blah. Like you lied to me. This is some bullshit. Blah blah blah. And he's like, fuck this. Then he goes talk to Sarah Ann. And, well, here's the thing. Now, here's where I forgot to mention this little caveat. Sarah Ann DM'd him after the pods when they finally got their phones. And she said, hey, thank you for the experience. I really enjoyed it. And if you and Laura don't work out,
hit me up.
I don't think that's a bad thing.
No.
I don't think.
Because it's the show and that's
He double tapped and it gave it like either thumbs up or a heart emoji, whatever. But that's his only reaction. I don't think that's a bad reaction. I don't think just double tapping, acknowledge. He didn't text back or anything like that. I don't think a double tap is bad. She DM'd and said, hey, I'm open. And I don't think that's bad on her part. Because again, she had a real love connection with him. Spent 10 days with him.
I'm trying to relate these to the context of the show, because like in real life, you know.
Yeah, no, real life, no. Fuck no. Yeah. Fuck no.
But I don't know. I guess.
Yeah.
That's fine.
So anyway, they all meet at the party,
mm-hmm.
and people are confronting Sarah Ann. And like this other chick that we're gonna get into, her name is AD, talks like, you don't see a problem with like you trying to get with her man and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, no, I didn't do anything wrong. Like, I just said to him, hey, if your relationship isn't working for you, hit me up. It's all on Jeremy. I don't know. Like, I don't know why anybody's mad at Sarah Ann. I don't think Sarah Ann did anything wrong. And again, that is just people blaming the woman on this. This is all Jeremy. Jeremy's the one who went 5 a.m. to be with Sarah Ann. Jeremy's the one who told Sarah Ann, I'm probably going to close it off with Laura. Jeremy's the one who's playing both sides. It's not Sarah Ann's fault.
I don't think it's her fault, but I think it's just more of like basic respect.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
But again, in her defense, she's like, I had a real genuine love count, like with you. And I really enjoyed you. Like, I really want to continue that.
Yeah, but in the sense of, like, everything, like, he picked the other girl.
Bro,
I'm talking, but if we're still talking in the sense of the show, yeah, I do think that's, like, I think it's, like, a little disrespectful.
Yeah, a little bit disrespect, like, but, like, at the same time, I'm not mad at her for that.
I guess she's trying, because it's, like, she shot her shot. I love my Hawaiian shirts.
Exactly. And guess what? I know he got some ass that night. There's no way he didn't get an ass.
But no one, it hasn't been said.
Hasn't been said, but again, we grown ass adults. Like, he's what, 32? And she's 30? There's no way. She bad too.
Crazy. There's
no way we staying up till 5 a.m. and ain't smashing.
That's crazy.
So anyway, so at the party, Laura, Jeremy.
Break up.
Fuck you. Fuck out, blah, blah, blah. Then he's like, goes to Sarah and kind of comforts her because like they've been talking shit and they're both like, you know, fuck all of them. They go on jet skis and are like super happy and are like fucking rubbing it kind of in Laura's face. And that's the last time you see Jeremy and Sarah Ann.
Really?
Yeah.
Like ever?
Yeah.
Damn.
Love it though. Good for Sarah Ann. Jeremy, you're a fuck.
Got it.
Now, last couple. Now, here's a couple. You have Clay and AD. Okay, they're the black couple.
Crazy.
All right. Clay is your typical fuckboy. Okay. Typical fuckboy. He has a lot of trauma.
Okay.
He talks about how him and AD in the pods, he asked AD, how do you look? I cannot be with a woman that doesn't look, you know, banging. Which defeats the whole purpose.
I don't know what I would do if someone said to me, do you look banging?
Okay. He didn't say that, but he just said,
he's like, do you look
like hot?
Are you hot? I'd be like, I think I'm pretty great. Like, I don't know. Like,
that turned 80 off.
For sure. That would turn me off. Yep.
But they work it out and they
crazy. Okay.
What? So the entire time Clay is just saying, hey, I've been married. Like, I've watched, you know, a divorced house. His parents were together for 24 years, but he went on trips with his dad where his dad cheated and all the time and stuff. So he's
bad,
like,
father figure.
He's like, all I think about is I hope I don't cheat on you. Like, I hope I don't cheat on you.
What?
But it's just nonstop. Like, that's the only thing he talks about is like, I hope I don't cheat on you. Please do not let me cheat on you.
Sounds like a Tristan Thompson. It's a wild Love Is Blind season. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so keeps on talking about like how he, like, cheating in his DNA.
Yeah.
Like, he looks up to men like P. Diddy and Will Smith. He looks up to those relationships. And I'm just like, bro, what are we talking about?
That's crazy.
This man just got accused of sexual assault again.
That's crazy.
So,
but then I'm assuming, does he cheat?
There's no cheating.
Okay.
They're entrepreneurs and they don't really get on the same page at all on their time schedule. But they love each other. AD really does love Clay. And here's my thing about Clay.
I want to know why.
Like, I kind of root for Clay a little bit. Because, the cheating is, like, having that in your mind all the time, that he just needs to get that shit out of his mind. But I understand, like, him coming from a standpoint of, like, I've been a fuckboy my entire life. And, like, he's probably cheated on girls and stuff like that. He's probably whatever. And now he's trying to turn the corner. And he's in a position of, like, trying to get better for you. I'm trying to do this.
Okay.
But also, I think he came into the situation not ready for a marriage.
No.
He was, like he's definitely fine with a girlfriend and stuff like that, but not ready for, like, real time.
Yeah, because, like, that's the big leagues. That's
yes. And so, like, because at one point, like here's an example. Clay at one, like, 80 is complaining about, like, how he doesn't spend enough time with her. And, like, at one night, Clay chose to stay at another house, like, another rental.
Okay.
For the night instead of staying with her. Because it was closer to the client that he has to go to the next morning. And in 80's mind, it's like, what the fuck? What's Why are you not coming?
Yeah.
But I kind of get it from Clay's perspective of, like, he's not viewing this as, like, you're my fiance or, like, you're about to be my wife. He's viewing it as, like, oh, you're my girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
So, basically, and again, this is only, like, 3 weeks in.
Yeah.
This is only 3 weeks. Yeah. So, he's basically like, hey, you need to fit my schedule instead of me fitting my schedule around you. Because, like, when you first start talking to somebody or start getting with somebody, like, you're not, like, moving mountains and everything for that person. Like, you're focusing on you. And when they come into your life, that's when you're like, cool. It's not till later you're like, okay, like, hey, you know what? This person's more important than everything else.
It's like something has to spark for you to feel that way, for sure.
And I think he's on the right track.
Yeah.
But he's just not there yet.
Okay.
And so,
probably just like, you should probably go the slow route. Don't know if you should have been here to do this, to get married and all that, but.
So, exactly what I thought was going to happen. They go to the altar. AD says yes.
Crazy.
Clay says, I'm not ready. He says, I want to still be with you. I still love you. But, like, and I want to keep making this work. But, like,
I feel like that's happened with some Love is Blind couples. Yeah. Where there's, yeah.
He's just like, I'm not 100% there to be married. Like I'm not ready to be married right now. Like, he says, I am not at the stage to be like a husband. And he's like, I don't want to do that to you. He's like, I still want to be with you. I still want to, but like, I'm not there. And I get it. I understand that. Mm-hmm. I called that from the beginning.
She was upset.
Of course. Like, don't, like, every yeah. person.
And you're rejected has all the, and yeah, on the she TV. Has all, and exactly. Yeah, yeah, like, yeah. You're, there's so much going on.
And then you think it's you. And then, like, you put it back on yourself. Am I not good enough? And blah, blah, yeah, blah. Yeah, and it's yeah. just like, now he has to step up, be a man, and, like, say.
Reassure no. her.
Reassure
and, yeah.
her. Make sure that she's okay.
Yeah.
And say, hey, babe, this has nothing to do with you. This is just me. I'm still not emotionally there. I'm still not emotionally intelligent enough to be a husband. I do not understand what it takes to be a husband, and I'm not there yet. And I need to be there before, like, I really say I do, because I've been through, like, divorce. I've been through cheating and stuff like that, and I want to make sure I give you my entire all. And, like, I get it. I get it. Everybody's shitting on Clay. Everybody mm-hmm. hates Clay. He's a typical fuckboy, 1,000,000%.
For sure.
He's trying to reform. And so, I think he's fine.
Okay.
I think he's fine. But we'll get the reunion next week, and we'll see where they're all at. What do you think? You should watch this, even though I just gave it all away.
No, dude, I just, like, honestly, after, like, the first, I think, two, maybe three seasons, I can't keep up on which ones. But I'm just like, dude... Are these people, like, are people still finding it for love? Like, I feel like the first season, because no one knew what really the show was going to be about, it was, like, maybe a teensy bit more, like, serious in terms of, like, yeah. finding someone. But I don't know. Sometimes, like, just hearing about it, I'm like, there's just so much.
I think there's drama.
And yeah. I will say, I've tried to get on the reality TV boat. I'm just... I feel like I'm just not my jive.
Ooh, I'll find you a good show. Good show.
No,
to
you've
watch.
Told me about good shows. I just can't. Like, people always tell me Love Island and stuff. And I'm like, I'm trying, guys. I really am. But yeah, I just think it's crazy. I think this concept is very weird. I think all these people are beautiful. Like, it's crazy.
We need some uglier,
like,
people.
I just don't think it how.
I need some 600-pound motherfuckers in there. Like, I need way uglier people.
Also, I think sometimes I just find it really cringy because I hate their conversations sometimes, because it sounds like over text when you're first meeting someone.
Facts.
And it like literally makes me, like, goosebumps cringe. And I'm just like, yeah. Oh, I cannot hear you being like, yeah, so, like, what are you wearing? And, like, what are you, like, ooh, is it hot? And it's like, no, like, I'm just, like, transported to a place where it's like I'm in middle school and trying to talk to boys, like, type of thing. And so
I can't see you talking to boys in middle school.
I didn't.
So, hey, that's the end of our episode. Thank you, Midori, for being here 100%. She'll be back. She'll definitely be back.
Thank you for having me. And yeah, this is, like, the first podcast I've ever done. So no, just, like, thank you for listening. And no, I really appreciate you asking me and inviting me on. So
guys, make sure that in the chat, in the comments, put some love on for Midori.
Don't be mean to me.
Don't be mean. Don't be mean.
No, I'm
at
just
all.
Kidding. I'm not gonna read it. No, facts. I'm just kidding.
But yeah, remember, you can catch Double Trouble Features on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. I'm Jordan.
I'm Midori.
Hey, and this is Double Trouble Features. Peace.
Woo.